sort of enforce consequences for bad behavior. You know, who's going to do it, and why should either of them sort of stand up and, you know, do the right thing? There is no real opposition to be able to force something. So, I mean, I think they both look really bad here. They both look like, again, they put the party ahead of everything else, and you can't do that, especially when you're in leadership. It's just not the way things are supposed to work.
Well, you know, certainly as we we're going to post, if Jeff hasn't already done it, we're going to post to the Facebook page the transcripts of the text back and forth between the Speaker of the House, Jase Bulger, and Representative Roy Schmidt. It's very damaging to both of them. It's already done. Thank you, Jeff. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, I mean, there's no mistaking what they're doing. I mean, it's you read the text messages and you're like there was no shame to this or no attempt to sort of even speak in vagaries or euphemisms. I mean, they're just bare knuckle. Let's get this done. Let's make sure it's somebody who can meet the legal qualification. But we know full well that we're recruiting a Democrat to sit, you know, to be a placeholder, so that when you switch at the last minute, the Democratic Party doesn't really have an opportunity to try to field their own candidate. And it's, you know, again, you wonder how long it's going to take people, public officials, to learn. Don't put this stuff in writing. somebody's going to figure it out, and you look horrible. But also for Speaker Bulger, why on earth are you involved in this kind of stuff? I mean, I don't think anybody is naive enough to think this doesn't happen frequently enough in politics. You know, you see Democrats try some of the same kinds of stuff from time to time. We had that fake Tea Party thing out in Oakland County 2 years ago. But you never saw leadership's fingerprints on that stuff the way that Bulger's fingerprints are all over this. I mean, there is no deniability he can invoke here at all. And as a result, I think the consequences are going to be a lot different than they were for Democrats 2 years ago.
Yeah, and Stephen Henderson, as I was reading his statement, Speaker Bulger's statement yesterday late in the afternoon, it almost reads like, yes, I lied, but listen, the prosecutor said there's nothing illegal going on here, so let's stop making this political. Hello?
That's right.
I mean, he actually said, let's stop politicizing this. Are you serious,
initial,
Mr. Speaker?
His initial statement was unbelievable. I mean, I happened to get him on the phone last night, and he walked back from that pretty significantly after saying that, and said that, you know, he admits that he got caught up in the political part of this, and that you know, it was out of frustration and et cetera, et cetera. And he wishes that he hadn't gotten caught up in that. You know, I think the question now is, okay, well, you made a mistake or whatever. But there need to be some consequences. There's got to be some sort of response to this, because allowing leadership to behave this way would send a horrible message, I think, about Michigan, not about the Republicans, not about the Democrats, just about this state, and particularly about the legislature.
Well, this at some level ends up in the lap of our Attorney General Bill Schuette. You know that Mark Brewer is not going to let this go. There's no way, Stephen, Mark Brewer is going to say, well, you know, the prosecutor has spoken. No, we've already got a statement from him saying, I've got my teeth into this and I'm not letting go.
Yeah, well, you know, and you can't blame him. I mean, this is a Christmas gift to the Democrats. This kind of, again, this bare knuckle kind of discussion of this level of deception, and again, not just by some rank and file foot soldier, but by the leader. I mean, you know, Speaker Bulger is fifth in the line of succession to be governor in the Constitution. I mean, this is a very serious transgression for somebody with the level of responsibility that he has. And that's my concern. And I think that's a concern with Speaker Bulger more broadly, is does he understand what it means to be speaker, which is not just which is not just about leading your caucus. And I think it's harder for him because he's new to this job. I think it's harder for him to see that as clearly because they have so much control, right?
Well, he's going to get a reminder. I don't mean to interrupt you. We've got to get to the break, Stephen. We'll come back, though. We're far from done with this one. Stay with us. We're also going to talk about the Freep endorsements, which happened this weekend, which I read with great interest. I'm sure many of you did as well. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Tony Trupiano.
My point is to Republican adults, when 14-year-old boys sound exactly like you do, maybe you should rethink the shit that's coming out of your mouth.
On 1310 WDTW.
No wonder 14-year-old boys can do your act. You act exactly like 14-year-old boys.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we got two accidents. First one's over on 696 eastbound, just before 75, has your right shoulder blocked. On 96 eastbound, just before Kent Lake Road, accident has your left shoulder blocked. Wilbert Avenue at Coolidge, we got traffic lights flashing red in all directions. Also, we got a fallen tree that's causing a lot of problems on West 14 Mile Road at Losser. And we got heavy traffic on US 23 southbound between 6 Mile and North Territorial Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 89 with the chance of isolated thunderstorms. Tonight, partly cloudy at 68. Tomorrow, 79, scattered thunderstorms throughout the day, and it's currently 76 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
I'm Marge Favell, president of SEIU. When Wall Street greed caused the foreclosure and credit crisis that crippled middle-class families, Gary Peters wrote the most sweeping reform of Wall Street since the Great Depression.
This is Jimmy Settles.
And this is Chuck Hall of the UAW. When the auto industry was near collapse, U.S. Congressman Gary Peters stepped up to work with President Obama to save hundreds of thousands of jobs for our families.
This is Michael Aaron, president of the Michigan Laborers District Council. When the big banks celebrated our tax-funded bailouts with big bonuses for themselves, Gary Peters wrote legislation to force them to give it back.
And this is Al Garrett, president of Ask Me Council 25. All of us fight each day for jobs and collective bargaining rights. Together, we represent nearly 200,000 hard-working families in and around Detroit. And we need Gary Peters on the front line fighting for us in Washington. Vote Gary Peters in the 14th District.
I'm Gary Peters, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. I just want to remind everybody, Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, will be my guest on tomorrow's program, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. You know, Stephen Henderson, it's interesting with the legislature back in session for one day. You've got to wonder how much of a distraction this will be, not only for the speaker, but for the Republicans in general, especially in the House.
Yeah, I mean, this is the measure of who they are, right? You've got a serious instance of misbehavior by the leader of one of your chambers. Do you take account of that in public and try to you know, make amends for it somehow, or do you act like it didn't happen? And you know, you can do, the thing is, you can do what you want, right? Because Republicans are in control of everything, the governor's mansion, the Senate, and the House. No one can force them to do anything, but those are the situations where you really show what kind of integrity you have. You know, because you can get away with it, well, you try to. I wouldn't want to be Jay Spolzer this morning, because I think he realizes now why what he did was, you know, so inappropriate and beyond the scope of his leadership role, but it's really hard to self-discipline, right? It is very difficult to take action against your own or against yourself.
Oh, Stephen, let me interrupt you for a second. Listen, you and I both learned this years ago, whether it was from our parents or mentors,
sure,
that we measure ourselves not by what we do when we're with others, but what we do when we're alone.
That's right.
All right. And you and I both know that, Stephen. Come on.
And I think the speaker knows that too. But I think power is a wonderfully intoxicating elixir in this instance. And how willing are they going to be to demonstrate that they're willing to sacrifice that power for integrity? That's really the question that they face. And right, you know, politicians are different animals on this kind of stuff.
There's no question that's true. Listen, one more quick comment, then I really do want to talk about the endorsements, more the process than the actual individual endorsements for just,
sure,
a second. You know, the one of the problems I see that Roy Schmidt has in a profound way is that 48 hours before he does this, he allows the Democrats to hold a fundraiser for him.
Right.
Where they raised a significant amount of money for his reelection campaign.
Right.
Now we know full well that this was so well entrenched, it was so and he was so intimately involved with it, that he lied to his friends, Stephen.
Right. Lied to his friends, lied to his voters. I mean, I would be, and you know, I'm holding back a little here because I haven't really decided what position we're taking at the paper, and I don't want to sort of back ourselves into a corner before we have a chance to really discuss this, because this happened so late yesterday. But I it's hard for me to see a way for Representative Schmidt to stay. The level of deception with regard to his own seat and his own voters is so remarkable here and so unacceptable. I can't imagine what he'd say or do that would suggest that he ought to be representing anybody in Grand Rapids. If he doesn't take that position himself, I sure hope the voters there take it out on him pretty hard.
I'm with you. You know, this is not unlike the Thad McCotter conversation from last week. We could easily,
sure,
be talking about this again next week. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Very, very quickly, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left. The endorsements did come out on Sunday. It is the few times a year that you do it. I, of course, am rabidly there, very excited about the. I love reading them. But you know, the one thing I don't know, Stephen, how do you folks go about making them? What is that process?
Well, it's actually a pretty arduous process. You know, there are some 350 odd candidates for public office in our metro area here in Detroit, and we make an effort to try to get in touch with all of them, try to get them all to fill out our questionnaire, and we interview quite a few of them as well at the editorial board to try to make decisions. This goes on for us for most of the late spring and the summer. In the case of the primaries, it will go on all fall, and it's a very intense process. I mean, you're seeing lots of people, you're hearing lots of ideas, you're making lots of comparisons, and you know, you have to make choices that in a lot of cases you don't want to make. One great example this time is the race between Rashida Tlaib and Maureen Stapleton. Those are two state reps that we've endorsed several times before for things. We like them both, but now they're running against each other, so you gotta decide which is better. I have to say that endorsements are one of my least favorite duties as an editorial page editor, because they're sort of thankless. You know, the person who doesn't get endorsed is always angry. The person who is endorsed isn't always particularly grateful, and there's always questions about how much influence we actually have on that process. I tend to think we are more trying to inform people about where we stand than telling them where they should stand. But yeah, I mean, it's a big part of the job. It consumes election years like this for me in a way that almost nothing else ever does. And I think we do a pretty good job, but I think readers give us our due for that, too.
Well, you know, interesting, one of your endorsed candidates was in studio with me a little earlier, David Kinesic in Michigan's 11th House District, and I liked his take on it. He was, of course, honored by the endorsement, but understands endorsements don't vote.
Right.
And so he understands he still has some serious work to do.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, the one thing that is sort of universally true in these endorsements is how impressed I am by the people who throw their names out there on these ballots and try to get people to elect them. There's a real self-sacrifice and self-awareness there that I am always sort of impressed to see. And you know, the other thing in endorsements is you get to see a lot of times the sort of future stars when they first start running. I mean, think about someone like Debbie Stabenow, who now is a very powerful senator in Washington. I remember when she was in the state legislature and was running for governor in 1994 and was somebody who didn't do well and who we didn't think very much of. Now, you know, think of what she's become.
And yeah, and unfortunately we're out of time. Let's mention the blog real quick, that you're keeping it updated, which we appreciate. And thanks for including us. We do appreciate that as well.
Absolutely. I'm having fun with that. So it's shendersonracesurgent.com.
All right. We'll get that link up again on the Facebook page. Stephen, thanks so much. We'll look forward to next Wednesday.
Absolutely.
You bet. A quick break here. Desiree Cooper from Planned Parenthood when First Shift continues. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by NBC.
Let's head over to 696 eastbound just before 75, where we had that accident that was blocking your right shoulder. Well, that's in the clearing stages now, but you still have slow traffic from Coolidge. We got a disabled vehicle that's blocking the right shoulder on westbound 696 just before DeQuinder, with slow traffic from Hoover. And we got heavy traffic on 75 northbound between 8 Mile and 12 Mile, and stop-and-go traffic on US 23 southbound between Barker Road and North Territorial. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Next Friday, the world's greatest athletes come together on the world's biggest stage. Don't miss the biggest event of the year, the opening ceremony of the London Olympic Games. Next Friday, 7:30, 6:30 p.m. Central on NBC.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 89 with the chance of isolated thunderstorms. Tonight, partly cloudy at 68. Tomorrow, 79. Scattered thunderstorms throughout the day, and it's currently 76 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? and that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week. A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trippiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
Here's some useful advice from an old country saying. Never try to teach table manners to a pig. It doesn't work, it'll wear you out, and it just annoys the pig. The same advice goes for anyone who thinks they can teach even a bit of common sense to the preening political ideologues who've taken over the Republican Party and the U.S. House of Representatives. As we've seen in their incessant pig-headed attacks on the new health care bill, their minds are not merely fogged up with extremist anti-government theories. Their heads are impervious to rational thought. They failed to defeat Obamacare in 2010, despite using the despicable and false scare tactic of telling people the law authorized, quote, death panels to euthanize grandma. Now, they're trying to repeal the law by getting people to swallow their hogwash that it contains, quote, a massive tax hike on the middle class. Really? No. One, it's not massive. Two, it's a payment for a direct benefit that people will receive, namely decent health care coverage. Three, very few people will have to pay the so-called tax at all. And four, many people and small businesses will get tax credits and federal assistance to offset the cost of their payments. The greatest failure of these repubs, however, is that they offer no alternative to Obamacare. During the debate on their latest attempt to repeal the law, a Democratic lawmaker asked for a copy of the GOP's health care plan so he could read it aloud to other members. Silence in the chamber. They have no plan. The Republicans' political slogan has been to repeal and replace Obama's reform. But they've since dropped the replace part, saying they can't offer an alternative until they complete the repeal. This is Jim Hightower saying, no surprise there. In fact, I doubt this bunch can walk and chew gum at the same time.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show. Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And a pleasure to be back with you. Lots of stuff here. We still have two more guests today, not just one, yeah, two. And that's okay. We're not going to rush through this. We've got plenty of time to get everything in. Just want to remind you all that, I just love this segment every week. And I'm hoping in the very near future that we are going to talk about doing a fundraiser for Planned Parenthood. But before we get there, let's do an intro and do this thing properly. Go ahead, guys.
Their reach matters.
And in a year where the most basic truths and access to help is as critical as it has ever been.
Many people in the news are talking about a war on women and others are denying it.
First Shift is proud to welcome to our airwaves, an organization who continues to be the center of empowerment and honesty.
But certainly any objective look at the kinds of policies, et cetera, that some of the states are putting forward and being endorsed by the Republican candidate certainly would suggest that we don't think women are an important part of society.
And as they continue to provide services that save lives and provide a path to sanity,
First Shift proudly brings you the gift of Planned Parenthood.
And indeed, and our gift today actually comes in the form of one Desiree Cooper. Desiree is the Director of Media Relations for Planned Parenthood of Mid and South Michigan, and it is an honor and a pleasure to have my friend Desiree on with us this morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Tony. How are you this morning?
I am doing quite well, thank you. Listen, before we get to our predetermined topic, I did want to mention that if there are folks, both men and women, available to travel to the Capitol today, we could use a little people power up there today.
Yeah, there is a demonstration, a rally going on. It's actually not a Planned Parenthood rally. We are one of the co-partners in really encouraging women to come back to the Capitol. We've done it like four times in the last two or three weeks to really kind of let the legislature know that we are not backing down on protecting women's access to affordable health care here in Michigan.
Sad.
That's at 11 o'clock today at the Capitol.
Right. So if the, I realize it's short time, although we did post to the Facebook page yesterday. We did mention it. I want to make sure we mention it again. And so if you can get up there, well, after you're done listening to us, grab a cup of coffee, maybe a little breakfast roll, and get going. That's all I'm saying. Get going. All right.
Or listen on iHeartRadio. You can be in the car right now.
There you go.
And listen on your phone.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, if you do have a chance to get up to the state capitol, please do that. We have a really interesting topic today. And in fact, I'm going to read the intro that that was basically sent to me in my little briefing, because I don't know that I can do it better. This is really a fascinating conversation. This is last week, Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney addressed the NAACP National Convention. The former governor received a chorus of boos when he vowed to repeal the Affordable Care Act, but it was barely reported that he received rousing applause when he reiterated his stance against gay marriage. Why is that significant, Desiree?
Well, it's significant on a number of levels. First of all, people might remember that after President Obama came out supporting marriage equality, same-sex marriage, the NAACP almost immediately, the leadership came out and backed him up on that and also endorsed that. The question has been whether or not the rank and file are really behind that decision, and I think that when you saw the rank and file applaud former Governor Romney when he said that he opposed same-sex marriage, and that just gives an indication that there is a little bit of a schism there. What does that have to do with reproductive health care? Here's the deal. If the rank and file are still not really ready to embrace the idea of marriage equality, it could indicate that there's still some sort of stigma around gay rights and around homosexuality in general. And as long as that stigma is around, it really does prevent people, especially in the African American community, from getting tested and getting treated for HIV, because that's very closely linked in people's minds that HIV is a quote-unquote gay disease, even though we do know that it is not solely a gay disease. It is far, it's transcended, one particular community, and now it's transmitted through heterosexual sex, IV drug users. You know, there's just a bunch of ways that it can really, really affect people who are not in the gay community. So as long as there is that stigma, we have a problem in the black community that people will not get their status and they will not get tested.
Well, and as we have talked about so many times previously to today, education is such a central and critical role of what Planned Parenthood does. Let me just throw this this number out there because it's astounding. In the state of Michigan, according to the Michigan Department of Community Health, 10,820 black persons are living with HIV/AIDS in Michigan alone. If we're not talking about that, if we're not educating, if we're not empowering people to the proper medical path to find out, to take care of ourselves, to prevent, then we are, again, failing a community that needs support. But that door kind of swings both ways, Desiree.
Right, and you know what's interesting is that when you look nationally, I'm sure this is also reflected in Michigan, when you look at just women who are being infected by HIV, black women are the largest share of those new infections nationally. 57% of the new infections among women are African-American women. And that's correlated to a study that was done in the Journal of Health Communications that says that's closely tied to religiosity, so that the more religious someone is in the black community, the more they're going to feel a stigma around HIV/AIDS. They are more apt to label people as immoral, as sinners, having poor judgment, making wrong choices. And whether or not this is true, what we're here talking about is not a judgment around, you know, religious beliefs. What we're talking about is impediments to getting people access to health care. And so as long as those two things are tied, we have black women really, really at higher risk of being infected without knowing it and without getting treatment. So what that means for us is that we have to work closer with the black church. We have to work closer with religious leaders to help really diminish this idea of a stigma. I mean, we don't these days think about cancer victims or people who have tuberculosis as sinners. Now, there was a time where we did. You know, there was a time when there was a stigma around that. So I think we have to move a little bit further from that now and enlist our religious leaders in removing that stigma so that people can just be healthy.
Yeah, what an amazingly difficult challenge this becomes. I could throw a lot of statistics at people, but the one that really kind of jumped off the page at me is this one, Desiree. African Americans make up less than a quarter, 23% of the Detroit metropolitan area general population, but this is what's astounding, but they comprise 69% of persons living with HIV. That's an astounding number.
Yeah, a lot of that has to do with access to care, access, and that's why Planned Parenthood is there. We do provide testing on a sliding fee scale. Some of the testing is same day. The HIV testing does not require blood tests. So, you know, we can really, really help people get their status and then get them to counseling and to medical care that will help them not only with their disease, but also to keep that infection from spreading to others, really educate people. And, you know, Tony, we work really, really hard with teens in the Metro Detroit area to try to, you know, teach them about it. But we know that kids listen to other kids. And so this isn't all about I'm just drop dead in love with somebody, and if you love me, then you'll sleep with me, and or conquest mentality. This is about being safe for the rest of your life. It's a big decision, and kids have to be armed with all the information that's possible in order so that we can have a healthy community. So that's what Planned Parenthood is all about, and that stigma issue is huge. And so that's also what we're about. The more we talk about it, the more opportunity people like you have given us, thank goodness, to talk openly and publicly about these issues, the better off we're going to be as a community.
Well, you know, again, the education, greater education is a big part of this. Before we run out of time today, I would think one of your greater challenges, though, is getting in with religious leaders and getting them on the same page with you and getting them to understand that, you know, this isn't about preaching. It's about saving lives.
Yeah, I think that it's a challenge, but it's also an opportunity. Because the black church has so much influence in the black community, that it's really an opportunity for us to reach people, you know, in a place that they feel safe and it's trusted, if their religious leaders are on board. And you would be surprised at how many do come and invite us to talk to their young people, invite us to come and talk to their congregations, invite us to tabling events, to pass out our information. I think you'd be surprised by that. But, of course, we could definitely use more and more partners. And if any of them are out there listening and want us to come and be a part of their message about being healthy, about the body being a sacred, something sacred and God-given that we all have to take care of, and that when you really do love someone, then you care about your status and you care about their health as well. So those messages are something that we are willing to take everywhere.
All right. Desiree, I want to thank you so much. We are just out of time for today, but we'll look forward to visiting with Planned Parenthood again next Wednesday. Have a beautiful week.
Oh, thanks, Tony. Take care.
As always, my pleasure. When we come back, the Reverend David Alexander Bullock. Stay where you're at. We've got too much to do yet for you to be walking away. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political, so I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do.
On 1310 WDPW. Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit ufcw.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Normally, we would be wrapping things up here, and we will, but we need to first turn your attention towards an egregious, actually, this is an egregious situation, to help us walk through this and to give us an update on what's happening with Public Act 4. We welcome back to the program our dear friend, Reverend D. Alexander Bullock. And Reverend Bullock, I want to thank you for giving us some of your time this morning.
Oh, Tony, thank you for having me on the program.
I fear that this is one of those things, because it's not on the front page of the papers right now and people aren't talking about it the way they should be, that they're forgetting the critical importance of getting the PA4 legislation on the ballot. What's happening with the courts, Reverend Bullock? I'm getting concerned.
I am concerned. You know, the Court of Appeals ruled that the 14-point font on the heading of the petition was not enough to keep the referendum off the ballot. That was ruled. But what they didn't do is that they didn't mandate that the petition drive successfully be placed on the November ballot. And so right now we are in limbo. We are in no man's land. There's no reason for it not to be on the ballot. But as it stands, it's now on the ballot. Now it's headed to the Supreme Court. We're going to the Supreme Court next Wednesday, the 25th of July, for a hearing at 9 a.m., and we don't know what they're going to do. We don't know if they're going to rule next Wednesday. We don't know how they're going to rule. All we know is that there's an August 27th deadline, and that all of the blood, sweat, and tears, all of the work of the volunteers, the 206,000 signatures of registered voters that signed the petitions, this is a petition that should be on the ballot, but it is not, and I am completely concerned because, as you say, this is not on the front page. People, can easily forget about this. There are other ballot initiatives. There's the presidential election. There are other offices that are open, seats that are open. People are running. So much information. But if PA4 doesn't make it on the ballot, then two things will happen. One, emergency management will be the order of the day in Michigan. Democracy will be destroyed. Unions will have nothing to fight the onslaught of the union busting in Michigan. And voting rights basically will lose their sanctity in this state.
Well, you know, here and there's not a at some level you certainly have a much different existence than I do, but there we do share some interesting goals. One of them is to educate and empower. And so as it comes to Public Act 4, we understand that once we get this on the ballot, we've got some heavy lifting to do. We've got some educating to do. You and I have seen the same polls. We know that not everybody gets what Public Act 4 is, so we know we've got work to do. But here's our challenge, Reverend Bullock. We have also, as you just said, candidates to get elected, other issues that we need to talk about. Something even as, to me, important as making sure the DIA gets their funding, that we can keep them open. That all that matters. But if we don't, you know, do we expend energy to educate now on Public Act 4? Do we not? These are, listen, we've got a finite amount of time to get this done. This is something that we should be very, very concerned about.
That's right. I mean, we've got a finite time to get it on the ballot. And then, as you say, we've got a finite time to mobilize and organize to get people educated about the ballot initiative. I think this is an intentional delay. I also think that the justice delay is typically justice denied. We do both realize that if and when this gets placed on the ballot, the Emergency Management Public Act 4, that Public Act 4 allows for, it has to cease and desist in Michigan. I've talked to some folks from the Snyder administration who said, look, Reverend, you guys have been fighting hard, but the truth is that once this gets certified, the emergency manager in Flint has to cease and desist. Roy Roberts has to go from PA 4 to 72, and all the academic proposals that he has for DPS has to stop. Muskegon Heights School District will have to stop. Benton Harbor will have to stop. And so I think this is an intentional plan to drag this thing out, potentially not get it on the ballot, but drag it out in the meantime so that the Public Act 4, what Public Act 4 allows the Snyder administration to do is not stopped by the will of the people. And that's a tragedy that we would have political maneuvering at this stage in the game that would seek to deny the people the right to vote.
There's no question. Everything you've said is 100% true. And, you know, I said on the show last week, we may not end up losing on this issue, but ultimately they're going to win because they have, as you just said, they've been very successful at keeping PA4 doing what it's doing, which is taking dictatorial power and forcing the will of a man or a woman on a community or a school district and taking away our basic democratic rights and not allowing the people that we voted for, right or wrong, good or bad, the people we voted for to represent us, they no longer have that voice. That is just wrong, no matter how you slice this thing, Reverend Bullock, no matter how you slice it.
No, you're right, and it's amazing to me when I talk to people about this. They say, well, you know, democracy is inefficient. You know, democracy is sloppy. Democracy allows, it doesn't allow for a streamlined process. We need to get things done, Reverend. I have to remind people, this is America. Democracy is our form of government. I mean, people fought, bled, and died for the right to vote. And you don't throw out democracy, one, in the name of financial responsibility, but you also don't throw out democracy because it may be inefficient or because the process may be too slow. It's not streamlined. Democracy allows us to have accountability. It allows us to have a voice, a place in the process. And my fear is that people really don't understand what's at stake here. I mean, the right to vote is really what keeps us from fighting each other in the streets. I mean, Malcolm X said it, it's the ballot or the bullet. I mean, once people lose hope in the process, that's a recipe for a riot. I mean, so we need to protect the right to vote, not only so that we can protect democracy and justice and freedom, but the right to vote is the bond of our civic life together, our political life that binds us together and sends us to ballot boxes and not sending us to buy bullet boxes.
Well, you know,
so this is also so important.
Absolutely. And Reverend Bullock, if people are thinking we're just being overly dramatic, they're not paying attention. You've got a couple press conferences going on today. We've only got about 35 seconds left. You've got a couple press conferences going on today. I want you to tell our audience about that.
Yes, meet us in Flint at 12 noon at City Hall. There'll be a contingent from Flint going to the Michigan Supreme Court hearing next Wednesday. We'll have a press conference today at 12 noon. Then we'll be in Benton Harbor at 5 p.m. at City Hall again. We'll also be going to Muskegon Heights and Grand Rapids on Friday. We're moving around the state, mobilizing buses to go to the hearing next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Also, they'll be just leaving from Detroit. For more information, they can always go to our Facebook page, Tony, Rainbow Push Detroit, or follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI for bus location and bus information and general information. But we are starting the day to try to wake up the sleeping giant that is the people of Michigan.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Reverend D. Alexander Bullock. We, as always, appreciate you, and you know we're here to serve you when you need us. Have a great day today. Good luck with the press conferences, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. All right, folks, that does it for us today. Anthony and Jeff, thank you so much. We're just out of time. Wall to wall today, folks, what can I say? You're amazing. You're all amazing, and I appreciate you. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Let's head over to 696 eastbound just before 75, where we had that accident that was blocking your right shoulder. Well, that's in the clearing stages now, but you still have slow traffic from Coolidge. We got a disabled vehicle that's blocking the right shoulder on westbound 696 just before DeQuinder, with slow traffic from Hoover. And we got heavy traffic on 75 northbound between 8 mile and 12 mile, and stop and go traffic on US 23 southbound between Barker Road and North Territorial. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 89 with a chance of isolated thunderstorms. Tonight, partly cloudy at 68. Tomorrow, 79 scattered thunderstorms throughout the day, and it's currently 76 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.